Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Attitude is everything, you know, in God. Amen? Attitude. Attitude. Hallelujah. Attitude, say that with me. Say, attitude is everything. We've got to keep a proper spiritual attitude. We've got to keep a proper mental attitude. Amen. If we want to receive as proficiently from God as He desires for us to. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people live their lives as if God's not even watching. Amen. Now, maybe not you. Let me just tell you, even as we begin here today, as you go to your Bibles to Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 15, we got some faithful people in this room. Some people in this room are amongst, if they're not already topping the list, they're amongst the most faithful people I've ever seen in my 27 years of Christianity. Amen? But we're going to be talking about some things here today that need to be said regardless. We're going to be talking about miracles and faithfulness. And I was going to talk on miracles and angels today. On the miracles and the ministry of angels. And wouldn't you know, the Holy Spirit, right in the middle of my plans, He said, no, you're not. You're going to minister on miracles and faithfulness. And then we'll go on to angels. Amen? Amen. Miracles. So probably next week, there's a good chance, unless the Holy Spirit says otherwise, amen, that we're going to minister next week on miracles and the ministry of angels from the book of Acts. But the Holy Spirit put it on my heart to preach on miracles and faithfulness today. And then we record all these messages, as you know. And to give the CD from now on to everybody, every new person, whoever comes to this service, give it to them. Give them the CD on miracles and faithfulness. How many of you know the body of Christ on Cape Cod has had a problem with faithfulness to God's Word? Amen? It would be funny if it wasn't so pathetic. Amen? But there's something we can do about it. Now, we're talking about miracles. The Lord put it on my heart. Oh, how long ago was it, our first anniversary? What was the date of our anniversary? April the 27th. I went to the Lord about that service and I said, Lord, what do I minister for our 1 year anniversary service? And the Lord told me, miracles, and stay with it. We're going to stay with miracles through 2008. I'm going to be teaching and preaching on the subject of miracles. So on that Sunday service, we began ministering on the subject of miracles. He told me, make much of signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, if you preach on salvation, people get saved. When you preach on divine healing, people get healed. When you preach on signs, wonders, and miracles, what's going to happen? Signs, wonders, and miracles will occur because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We need to develop faith for signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, miracles are the dinner bell to salvation. When people hear, even lazy, slothful, unfaithful, disobedient Christians, when they hear there's miracles going on somewhere, they show up in droves. Even the lost will show up when they hear there's miracles, signs, and wonders occurring. Now, granted, when the service is over, you got to go out in the parking lot and clean up the beer cans and sweep up the cigarette butts. But they come regardless. Amen? And that's what we want them to do. We want them to come because we want to tell them about Jesus. Amen? So, we're teaching on miracles. We're believing for miracles. But we need to make some adjustments if we're going to see miracles in our lives. Now, we've talked about created for miracles. 2 weeks in a row, we saw how Isaiah, in Isaiah 8:18, I close my eyes a lot, Barbara's been pointing out to me, you've been closing your eyes a lot when you preach. And I do that to look inside my spirit, to listen on the inside, and to cut out any distractions. Amen? I listen on the inside because I want to say what the Holy Spirit has to say. You don't need my big ideas. They'll get you in trouble. You need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Amen. Isaiah chapter 8:18, the prophet Isaiah said that God's children in the earth were created for signs, wonders, and miracles. Somebody said to me one time, miracles are all over. Don't you know that? I said, you're right. Miracles are all over. They're all over the earth, and you aren't seeing them because you don't believe in them, and your unbelief's grieving the Spirit of God. He's not going to come banging on your door with miracles if you don't believe. I believe in miracles. I am a miracle. You go read my testimony on johnhamelministries.org and click on the Albuquerque fire pit, and you read through that, and you tell me you don't believe in miracles. You'll either see in that testimony that I'm either a miracle or a liar. And I'm not a liar. God can't honor a liar. Amen? God still does miracles today. The same four primary types of miracles that we've covered. This is kind of a review for those of you who weren't here. Amen? We talked in one of the sessions in weeks gone by that Jesus is still doing the four primary types of miracles that he performed when he walked in the earth. Jesus performed miracles of healing. He performed miracles of provision. He performed miracles over Satan and demon powers, and he performed miracles over nature. He still does it today. I've experienced them all. Do you believe today? Do you believe in miracles? You do? Hallelujah. Well, glory be to God. I told you, hallelujah, about the earthly habitations of demons. You recall that lesson? Demons indwell nations. I gave you scripture. They indwell cities. Showed you that from the Bible. They indwell human beings. And they indwell animals. If they can't get in a human being, they'll take an animal. Amen? They'll go live in an animal. The Gadarene demoniac in Mark chapter 8. Perfect example. One, you know, space and matter. In physical matter, spirit and matter can occupy the same space. That man had 2,000 demons in him at least. He said, my name is Legion. For we are many. A legion was 2 to 6,000 soldiers. That man had no less than 2,000 demons in him. In one side, one human being. Spirit and matter can occupy the same space. Amen? Jesus cast that spirit over that out of that man supernaturally. They went into the pigs that were feeding nearby, and they drowned themselves and choked themselves in the water. Amen? Listen, the same evil spirits that Jesus dealt with when he was in the earth are still here today. Somebody said, no, they're not. And I said, where'd they go? Show me in the Bible where they went. I'll show you in the Bible in Revelation chapter 20, 1 through 15, that they're still here on this earth until the angel comes to lock them and the Antichrist and the false prophet and the beast in the pit. They're still here. Paul said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with the rulers and darkness, and the rulers of the darkness of this present evil world and demonic principalities and powers. We have complete and absolute authority over them. But if we don't do something about them, God's not going to do anything about it. He's done all he's going to do. He's given us his word, his blood, his son, the name of Jesus. And if we don't bind up these evil spirits, here on Cape Cod in particular, they're going to continue to run roughshod over the churches on Cape Cod, as they have been doing for long before we got here. Amen? I have to tell you, and I say this constructively and from a right spirit, there's a lot of false pastors on Cape Cod. They're not teaching the word. They're holding people in bondage as part of Satan's plan. We're praying for them to go. They're beginning to leave. We love them. We forgive them. You don't have to be an evil person to be a false pastor. You just have to be pastoring without a call of God on your life for a paycheck. Amen? Now, we say strong things around here, but we always give you scripture for everything. Amen? The false pastors have to go. So many of these churches on Cape Cod, they're not churches at all. They're cereal factories. Cereal factories. They're producing nuts and flakes and fruits. Amen, John? Pay attention. Hallelujah. We're not going to be a cereal factory producing nuts and flakes and fruits. We're going to be a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, producing authoritative believers who know their authority in Christ. And they're not afraid to back off from the devil. And they're not afraid to take authority and pray. Say, Father, remove all the false pastors from this peninsula. I exercise my dominion here now. You sent me here. Not just me, the pastor, all of you can do this and should be doing this. We talked about this. And tell those false pastors, go. Tell Satan, go. You won't hold them here any longer. In the name of Jesus, and I command God's people to be free to go to the churches God's calling them to go to and not be held in bondage anymore in Jesus' name. Now, they don't all belong here, but I'm using my authority for the ones who do belong here to get out of those carnal hideouts and get over here. Could you agree with me? And then the others who don't belong here, we don't want them here. They'll just goof us up. They need to go get underneath the true pastor that God has for them. This isn't even in my notes. This is a freebie. Could you agree with me on that?
Amen.
Amen. If you pray that way with me, we'll get the job done. That's how you all got here.
Amen.
Amen. That's how we all got here. Through prayer and faith and exercising authority. Today we're going to talk about, let me just remind you that we also talked about miracles in women. Do you remember that? That was a good message. I went home and listened to that. That was powerful. You were here for that, Terry. You were here for that. Betty, you were here for that. Amen? Barbara, were you here? That was a good message. Wasn't that something? We saw that Mary Magdalene was the first person that Jesus commissioned to preach the gospel after his resurrection. First one to see him after his resurrection. And he said, go and tell my brethren that I've risen from the dead. First commission preacher of the resurrection when Jesus rose from the dead. Don't ever tell me women can't preach the gospel. Amen? Or I'll tie in the chair and make you listen to that CD. I would never do that. You know, some supposed faith preacher did that one time. He was tying people into chairs and casting the devil out of them and not letting them out of the chair until the demons came. You can't do that. People have to want to be free. So I shouldn't even joke about that. But if you think that women shouldn't preach the gospel, and if you believe that men have authority to preach the gospel, men have authority over Satan and demon powers, men have authority in the earth, have dignity and dominion in the earth, and women don't, I'll give you the CD for free. Amen? Hallelujah. So we talked about that. We saw some miracles, some tremendous miracles that God did for women. Listen, God loves women as much as He loves men, and we don't put up with that foolishness around here. Amen? Now, we don't believe that all men have authority over all women. Some people do that. This needs to be said today. Why? Because it's coming up out of my spirit again. Amen? We don't know who's in here, and we don't know who's listening by CD. I don't have authority as a man over all the women in the world. And some people preach that, and that's just about as goofy as you can get. All the Christian men don't have authority over all the Christian women. I have authority in my own marriage only. And even then, my wife has as much authority, dignity, and dominion in Christ as I do. I am the head of my family. I'm the head of my marriage, and I act accordingly. But we don't do anything that we're not in agreement on. We submit to one another in love at the same time. Amen? So I'm the head of my marriage. I'm the head of my family. I'm the head of my household, but I'm not the head of yours. I don't have any responsibility in your life. Why would God give me authority? Amen? So glory be to God. Well, I need to say something else now, too. And you take this the right way. Jesus said that women are to submit to their husbands in the Lord. In the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul said by the Holy Spirit. Women, submit to your husband in the Lord. You submit to your husband as long as he's in the Lord. As long as he's submitting to the Lord. If he's not submitting to the Lord, he can't push you into sin. He can't push you and force you to violate God's word. He can't push you and force you to violate your conscience. Amen? You have to follow God's word and your conscience if your husband isn't doing that. Amen? Hallelujah. It's just important to say that. Amen? No man has the right to insist that his wife go against the word, that his wife go against conscience. No man, Christian or otherwise. We are to submit, our wives, men are to submit to us as we submit to the Lord. So you want better results at home, start walking with God, men. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, Lord, I said it. Amen? Today we're going to talk about miracles and faithfulness. And I don't know, maybe some of you might want to run to the restroom and put a book down the back of your pants today so this won't sting as bad. Maybe you don't. I don't know. It all depends on who you are and where your walk with the Lord is. Amen? Are you there in Romans chapter 1? I'm going to just remind you again, faithfulness and obedience always set the stage for the miraculous. Did you hear me say that? Let me just say that again. Faithfulness and obedience always set the stage for the miraculous. And I'm going to say it another way. faithlessness, as a believer, faithlessness is a monster in the basement. And it's going to devour you if you don't do something about it. Faithlessness. Amen? Now, everybody look at me and smile. Let's start off everybody smiling. I'll smile more, you smile more, and we'll all smile together. Amen? I'm not angry with anybody here today. The Lord told me to preach this message to help people, to build people up, not to tear them down. And He told me from now on, whenever people come into the service, anybody who'll take it, you give them a free CD of miracles and faithfulness. Amen? So we're preparing for them to come too. Amen? As you hear me speak to you today by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 1. In verse 8, if you'd pick it up with me, it's real important that when we read, that you don't read ahead of me, and when we go to another scripture, that you come with me. You're going to miss what the Holy Spirit is saying. Look what Paul said. He said in Romans 1:8, he said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith," that's actually faithfulness, "is spoken of throughout the whole world." Can you imagine that? That's a reference to the Roman Empire by the day. It was the whole world of Paul's day, the Roman Empire. He said the Romans were so faithful that they were known throughout the entire Roman Empire for their faithfulness as Christians. We don't have that problem on Cape Cod yet, do we? Being known throughout the world for our faithfulness. But it's coming. You know how I know? Because we're here. And there's others coming here just like us. Amen? Because God's pouring out His Spirit in the United States of America, unlike any other time in all of human history, and we're going to find ourselves right in the middle of it. Here in this church, in another faith churches that God will raise up on Cape Cod. And when those other faith ministers come, we will welcome them. We will not reject them the way we were rejected when we came here by so many ministers. I'm appalled by the way ministers made it clear to us, pack it up, head it up, and move it out. You are welcome here. This is God's peninsula. Anybody ever hear of the Mayflower Compact? This is God's peninsula. Those pilgrims came over here in that boat, and they committed this peninsula, this state, this country, to God. This is God's place. And God sets in the body according to what pleases Him, not according to what pleases man. So we're staying, and the devil's going. Amen? Hallelujah. And we're going to be faithful, and we are going to be, the gathering is not going to be known as the non-committal sloppy church. Amen. The gathering is not going to be known as a cereal church producing flakes and nuts and fruits. We're going to be known as a faithful church. I'm going to be known as a faithful pastor raising up faithful sheep where signs, wonders, and miracles occur in our midst. Why? How do I know that? Because we're going to build on the Word of God. We're building on the precious, holy, written Word of God. And Jesus said that His Father's Word would never fail. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Hallelujah. I can't tell by looking at your faces, but when you say you do, I believe you. He said that their faith, the Romans' faith, was spoken of throughout the world. And look what he said on verse 11. Jump down there. He said, "I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established." Now, Paul's not actually saying that he imparts spiritual gifts here. If you look it up properly, it says, "I long to be in your presence where my gifts will operate strongly because of your faithfulness." You know that the gifts of the Spirit won't operate in the midst of faithless people? People who are unfaithful about church attendance, they go sporadically, they come when it's easy, but they don't come when it's hard. That grieves the Holy Spirit. They pay tithes when it's convenient, they don't when it's inconvenient. That grieves the Spirit of God. But the Roman church wasn't like that. They were faithful, Paul said, to the degree that they were known throughout the whole Roman Empire. That church was so faithful in church attendance and tithes and offerings, taking care of the pastor, taking care of Paul the Apostle, who established that church. They developed a reputation for faithfulness throughout the whole Roman Empire. And Paul said, "I'm confident that when I come back, because of your faithfulness," everybody okay up here? Because of your faithfulness, I know my gifts are going to go into operation. Because God honors faithfulness. Because faithfulness and obedience always open the door to the supernatural. He said, I just know when I get there, you're going to pull on me with that faithfulness, with that faith that you've been so faithful to develop, and things are going to start cracking. Can you hear me in the back? Go to Romans chapter 15, if you would. Oh, Lord, I want to be known in heaven for my faithfulness. Amen. Amen? Not just around the world, but I want to be known on planet heaven, and heaven is a planet. Amen? I want to be known by God. And you know, people know us by our faithlessness or our faithfulness. People, when they look at you, other Christian people, they judge you as faithful or faithless, whether you realize it or not. When people experience us, they determine immediately whether we're faithful or faithless. I want to be known as faithful. Amen? I don't want to be known as a spiritual slob. Spiritually sloppy, unreliable, undependable. Amen? I want to be known as the pastor who's down there every time those doors are open. Amen? Don't you want to be known as the type of believer who's in the church house every time the doors are open and the Holy Ghost is in manifestation and the Word of God's being taught? Don't you want to be known by God as one He can count on that you will be there? So, some of you are. Most of you are. Some I don't know. I'm about to find out, I bet, though. Amen? Look right here in Romans chapter 15. Paul said, for time's sake, we'll just jump down to verse 29. He said, I am sure. Please say sure.
Sure.
See, no doubt about it. Or is it doubt about it? Paul said, no doubt about it. I am sure when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, you are so faithful that I am sure when I arrive, all nine gifts of the Spirit are going to go into operation. Why? Because Paul operated in nine gifts and all nine gifts of the Spirit, which he did? Is that why he was sure? Not that alone, but because these people were so faithful, he knew when he got in their presence, God was going to honor it. Paul knew that faithfulness and obedience always opened the door and set the stage for the miraculous. Amen? He said, I'm sure that when I arrive, the power gifts will go into operation. You know there's three groupings of gifts of the Spirit? Stop reading your Bible and listen to the Holy Ghost up here now. Amen? Thank you. I didn't mean to say that rudely. Just, you don't want to miss what I'm saying, what the Holy Ghost is saying up here. Amen? Because I'm going to say something right now. There's three groupings of gifts. There's the power gifts that do something. There's the revelation gifts that say something. There's the utterance gifts that... the revelation gifts that reveal something, and there's the utterance gifts that say something. Most of you people in this room that I know these gifts. Do you want to see them operate in your midst? Do you want to see the working of miracles operate in your midst? Do you want to see it? Everybody longs for them. Listen, we're power seekers. We're created in the image and likeness of God. He's a God of power, and He produced us to be power seekers. You're a power seeker, aren't you, Jane? Don't you desire to see the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation? You hear about it in foreign countries and other states, but you're not really seeing it on Cape Cod, are you? There's no denying it. The gifts of the Spirit, if they're in operation around here, I don't know about it. Maybe in slight degrees. Oh, the gift of prophecy has been definitely abused on Cape Cod. I'd say probably 75% of the prophecy that I've been exposed to on Cape Cod is false prophecy. 25% of it's true. You know why? So people get so goofed up, it's easy for me to say, with the gift of prophecy, because it's the easiest gift to abuse. You can turn it on and off at will. You can prophesy out of your spirit, and you can prophesy out of your head. Most people today prophesy out of their head. That's why, of all the gifts of the Spirit, Paul devoted an entire chapter to only one gift. You know what it was? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, prophecy. How to use it and how to not use it. Because even when Paul walked in the earth, people were abusing tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. See, you can't imitate the work and the miracles. You can't imitate the gifts of healings, the power gifts. You can't imitate the gift of faith, but you can imitate prophecy. Make yourself look like a big spiritual hot dog. Go around giving everybody a prophecy. 99% of them never come to pass. Ultimately, people catch on to you and they realize you are a flake, you are a fruit, you are a nut. Amen? We don't want that happening around here. We want to see the true gifts of the Spirit in operation. We're not going to take advantage of the utterance gifts just because they're the easiest ones to abuse. Are you following me okay? Do you acknowledge that prophecy is overused and abused on Cape Cod? Amen? I had a man come to me just the other day who needed guidance from God. He said, I need a prophecy. So you ain't going to get one from me unless the Holy Spirit moves on me. But I will tell you to follow the green light and the red light of the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, because that's the number one way he guides. He was needing to know whether he should marry somebody or not, and he wanted a prophecy. That's the way he was raised, floating around in these goofy churches on Cape Cod. They're not all goofy. Some of them are good. But too many of them are really bad and goofing people up, coming asking me to give him a prophecy to tell him if he should marry someone or not. You want to see the gifts go into operation? Do you want to see the working of miracles? You know what the working of miracles is? It's when God suspends the laws of nature and moves contrary to them, raises dead bodies. Amen? You want to see those things operate? You want to see the gift of faith go into operation? That's one of the power gifts. Do you know what the gift of faith is? Gift of faith is a supernatural ability to believe God for provision and protection in times of extreme crisis and danger. You want to see that go into operation in your life when you need it? How about the gifts of healings? The gifts of healings is when God moves and instantly or near instantly heals a human being without the help of doctors, medication, nurses, or the medical system. Now, we believe in doctors and nurses. Don't get me wrong. But I also believe in the gifts of healings. I want to see them operate in our midst. I want to see the work of the miracles operate in our midst. I want to see the gifts of healings operate in our midst. It's going to take tremendous faithfulness for those gifts to go into operation the way that God desires for them to go into operation on our behalf. Are you with me on this? How about the revelation gifts? Gifts that reveal something. The word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is not great knowledge of the Bible. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation. I'm supposed to be doing this right now, by the way. You understand that? You don't look happy today. I just have to tell you, it really helps me when you smile. Amen? Because then I can just let you go and I can go with God. Amen? Word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation from the mind of God concerning people, places, things, or events, always having to do with the past or the present. Supernatural revelation from the mind of God concerning people, places, things, or events that has to do with the past or the present. That's the word of knowledge. You want to see that operate in our midst? It's going to take tremendous faithfulness. You can't just show up here. The doors are open 8 times a month. You can't just show up 3, 4, 5 of those times. Amen? You can't just show up and pay your tithes 2 or 3 times a month, and then the times that you're not here, you don't pay your tithes, and when you come back, you don't get caught up. That grieves God. Malachi chapter 3 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat on my table, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not pour out such abundance of blessing that you'll have to make room to receive it. Well, Pastor, I'm paying my tithes, and I've had people say, I'm paying my tithes, and I'm not receiving. And I have to say, yeah, you pay your tithes half the time. You're grieving the Spirit of God. That's faithlessness. And faithfulness and obedience alone always set the stage for the miraculous. Other people, they pay their tithes to the TV ministry. If they faithfully pay that tithe to the TV ministry and they don't prosper, because the Bible says in Malachi 3, bring it to the storehouse. Bring it to the storehouse. That's the church God has placed you in, according to 1 Corinthians 12:18. You bring it. Whew. How are we doing here today? Hallelujah. You know that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together with one another as you see the day approaching? So many people, they want to see the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, the working of miracles, the gift of faith, the gifts of healings. They're chasing gifts, chasing prophecies, but they're unfaithful in regular church attendance. I'm not lecturing anybody. Remember, this CDs going into the hands of everybody who comes through that door according to the Spirit of God. We're talking to people here today we haven't even met yet. Amen? You want to see the gifts of the Spirit in operation? Well, you need to keep in mind, you need to be in church regularly. Somebody did say to me when I said, you know, you're just not going, you're showing up here half the time. And they said to me, well, you know, you should be in church all the time, but I don't think I should. Well, why do I have to be there if you're not going to be there? Why do you think I'm there? I'm there for you. If everybody took that attitude, what was this? You know, everybody showing up half the time. That was the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Well, next to God doesn't want white people and black people marrying. Did you hear what I said? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard next to interracial marriage. There's no such thing as interracial marriage. Where are you going to find another race to marry into? It's one human race. Okay, enough of that. We're talking about faithful. Amen. You get over there and get that track, or you get over there and get that CD on prejudice. It'll help you if you've got a problem with black people and white people coming together and having children. Because when a black sperm and a white egg comes together, guess who did the creating, baby doll? God! Only God can create life. Amen? The devil didn't do that. If God didn't have a problem with black people and white people marrying and having children, why did he make it possible? Amen? And there's nothing, it's just going to keep on happening. So as believers, we need just to get used to it. I told you a couple of weeks ago, in the next 50 years, we're all going to be coming out the same color anyway, the way things are going. So we need to just get used to it. Amen? And wouldn't you be surprised if you can't stand the thought of a black man marrying a white woman if you got to heaven and God had a black face? Oh boy, I don't want to be standing near you then. Amen? We're talking about faithfulness and obedience. Amen? Two keys to seeing the miraculous occur on Cape Cod is regular church attendance and paying tithes and offerings. People want to walk in the power, but they want to overlook that. That's disobedience. Amen? It's not up to us whether we come to church on Sunday, but I can't make it on Wednesday. You better find a way. If you, I can't make you come, but I can tell you, if you don't obey, when we come together, if you don't do your best to get here, you're not going to receive the fullness of God's blessing in your life. The Roman church wasn't like that. They were known for being in church every time the doors were open. That's why Paul knew when he got there, there was going to be a supernatural combustion of the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit hasn't been moving on Cape Cod the way he desires to, because we got the majority of believers on Cape Cod are a bunch of church tramps. Well, I said it, now I got to stick with it, don't I? Amen? I call them divine drifters. They go from church to church. And I think, you know, they go from one church to another and never stay. Why do you keep changing churches if you're not going to even attend the ones you keep going to? You know what I'm saying? That grieves God so badly, something needs to be done about it. Amen? Are you listening to us, Mr. and Mrs. CD listener? Amen? Now, listen. The people that I know personally in this church don't have that problem. We talked at the beginning of the service about sacrificing the fullness of God's blessing for $4 a week, 1 gallon of gas. I've had people tell me, Pastor, you need to understand, I can come on Sunday, but I can't come on Wednesday because of the gas situation. And I just said to them, that's okay, I understand, I'm not coming on Wednesdays anymore either because of the gas situation. And they say, what? Oh, you won't listen to that from me. Why should I listen to it from you? God doesn't require me to be more obedient than you. You're going to give up the fullness of the blessing for $4. Besides that, that's just a lazy cop-out. It's really not the gas that keeps people out of church. That's just their excuse. What's $4? What's $4 compared to the fullness of God's blessing and supernatural abundance and prosperity and health and healing when you need it and faith being developed for your whole family to make heaven? Amen? Well, Pastor, you say $4 a week, but you got to figure it out long term over the course of a year. Okay, $120 a year. I would pay $120 a year to prosper, to be in good health, and to get my family to heaven. Wouldn't you? The illogic of some people's deductive reasoning. What are we talking about here today? Talking about faithfulness. Some Christians are just flat lazy. It needs to be said. Amen? I know Christians who'd control the remote control with a remote control if they could. That's like the epitome of laziness, amen? And you keep in mind, you faithful people in this room, that we're talking to people by CD also, amen? You're not getting a spanking today if you've been faithful, amen? But if you've been faithless, I guess you are. Maybe you want to stand up and straighten that book out in the back of your pants there. I know when my brothers used to get a spanking when I was a little boy, I'd just sit there looking straight ahead and just keep real quiet, just like you're doing today. Amen? Hallelujah. I knew I didn't do nothing wrong. Most of you know you haven't done anything wrong. This is what the Holy Spirit put on my heart. It's going to take constancy. It's going to take consistent faithfulness if we're going to see God move in our midst the way we want to move in our midst. And I commend you for your faithfulness, those who have been faithful, amen? And I commend those of you who are sitting and thinking in your hearts, Lord, I repent. Let me just commend you right now for repenting in your heart, amen? Listen, Proverbs 28, verse 20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. End of story. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man or woman shall abound with blessings. Anybody want to abound in the blessings of God? It's going to take extreme faithfulness. Amen? Mm-hmm. Got to be here. The first, but you see it all the time, and I say it all the time. The first banana to leave the bunch is the first banana to get peeled. The Christians who won't go to church, they're the first ones that the devil peels them back and devours them for lunch. Amen? God requires faithful church attendance. I'm putting the word out today, aren't I? Amen? Faithful attendance. I'm not going to get in the fear over gasoline. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to just hold one service a week over a gallon of gas, over 2 gallons of gas. Amen? Not going to do it. We come down here and faithful to let God fill our spirits with His Word. He'll be faithful to in turn fill our tanks with gas. Do we believe in Jehovah Jireh, the provider? Amen. Hallelujah. We're subject to a higher economy. If you'll be here and if you'll pay your tithes, gas will never be a problem. Barbara and I, we're not drawing any kind of a salary. We're not working secular jobs. We're believing God 1 week at a time to conduct these services. And we never consider worrying about gasoline. We pull into the gas pump, put the little card in there, I stick it in the car, and I say, I do this by faith. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Amen? We're subject to a higher economy. He didn't say, go ye in all the world and preach to all creation, if you can scratch up enough gas to do it. He said, go and preach and teach and heal the sick and cast out unclean spirits. We are determined to be here on Wednesday and on Sunday to obey Him. How about you? Amen. Do you want the fullness of God's blessing in your life? Well, that's what it's going to take. Amen. So many believers want to overlook the faithful church attendance and the tithe and offering part and expect to be blessed. They run around from convention to convention. This prophet came to town. They're over there that week. This evangelist, they're over there. But they're never faithful to their pastor, and their pastor can't get the job done because 90% of his people, they're running around from this meeting, that prophet, that evangelist, this convention and that convention, and the road to hell is paved with good conventions. Faithfulness to a local church, that's what's going to bring the power of God to Cape Cod. And that's what we're doing around here, and I'm proud of you. But if you're listening to us by CD, and you've been part of the problem, you need to repent. Amen? You need to lock your buns, if I may, onto a seat. We don't want to hear your excuses. But this, and but that. I tell people, get your butt down the front row. Get your butts down here. Sit down and learn the Word of God. And I mean that respectfully. You get it? It's a little pulpit humor. But this and but that. That's what they say. But this and but that. And I say, you need to get your butts into church. God doesn't listen to excuses. You want to see the miracle power of God in your life? Jesus said, faithfulness and church attendance and tithes and offerings. You know, a lot of pastors won't do what I'm doing up here today. I said a lot of pastors won't do what I'm doing up here today. They'd never make this tape and pass it out to everybody who comes in the door, that's for sure. You know why? Why so many of them won't do it? Because they know most people will be offended by a message like this. And they won't come back. They're afraid to tell them the truth because they're hirelings. They care more about making the note on their own home and making the note on the church building than they do about their sheep making good in earth and making good at the Bema judgment seat of Christ. They care more about their present needs being met than they do about taking good care of the flock of sheep that God has given. I'm a good shepherd. I'm not a hireling. Amen. When I see any of my sheep messing around at a hole that the devil cut in the fence so they'll go through it and he can kill them, I'm going right over there, I'm blocking up that hole, and I'm going to tell them, you don't want to go over there anymore. Amen? If I see folks getting near the fence to where the wolf can get them, if I see the sheep trying to get away, I'm going after them. I'm going to at least give them a word of admonition, amen, about faithfulness and obedience. Hallelujah. God said to me, I was standing at the kitchen sink here about a week more back. And he said to me, you weren't my first choice. Just looking at the birds feeding and the bird feeder out back, and I had to hear something like that. I'm just trying to watch the cardinal and see if the mother cardinal's going to show up, and I hear, you weren't my first choice. There were seven more that I sent to Cape Cod before you. Some of them came and left. Others didn't even bother coming. That's what the Lord said to me. You weren't my first choice. Now, there's been more than seven pastors God has sent here, I'm sure. He's talking about Word of Faith pastors. He's talking about Word and Spirit pastors. I knew that when he said that to me. I've been thinking on that word, and I've been realizing, you know, the ones who came and went, they came and they saw what a mess the body of Christ is on Cape Cod. They came and they saw, you know, a pastor is a daddy, like a daddy of a family. You understand that? It's the pastor's responsibility to bring a word of correction when it's needed. Just like a daddy has to bring, you know, whether you like it or not. Some parents don't want to spank their children. Pastors don't want to correct their congregations. They're afraid they'll be offended and they'll leave. And when they leave, they take their tithes. Well, I believe God. I'm not like that. Amen. I've been thinking on that word that the Lord gave me and realizing, you know, the pastors, the Word of Faith pastors who came here that were sent of God, he told me, you weren't my first choice. There were seven more I sent just like you before you. Some of them came and left. Others didn't even bother coming. The ones who came and left, I know what the problem is. They saw that the body of Christ on Cape Cod needs to be disciplined and they didn't want to administer it. They didn't want to be rejected. They didn't want to go through the hassle. They didn't want to go through the persecution. Well, when God sends you to do something, you better be willing to go through the hassle and go through the persecution because you're going to be judged upon how effectively I'm going to be judged upon how effectively I obey. I can't tell God. It's not working here, God. I don't like it. I don't like the way that they treat me. Things should be better. We believe in prosperity. What in the world's going on? I'm going to New York City where I know I can draw 150 people the first night. I can't do that. And that's what the ones who the Lord said he sent before me did. They weren't willing to bring a word of correction. Just like parents in the natural today, they're not willing to spank their children when they need it. And they just let them grow up and be selfish brats who go out into a world that ends up just hating them. And they subject those children to 1,000 different woes. Everybody hates selfish people. Nobody likes selfish people. Nobody likes selfish Christian people. Nobody likes unmerciful Christian people. Nobody likes Christian people who don't practice, you know. Selfish is ugly on a Christian more than it is on somebody in the world. Disobedient is ugly on a Christian more than it is on a person in the world. Amen? We're supposed to be serving the God of discipline and the God of love. What are we talking about here today? We're talking about faithfulness and obedience, always setting the stage for the miraculous. And the Lord said, you make that CD and you give that to everybody who comes in that door. Whether they listen to it or not is not my responsibility. My responsibility is to stand up here and minister this word today, record it and give it to people. And if anybody here in this room, you know, is receiving correction from it, all the better. Amen? Go to the book of Daniel. Do you know? I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit up here today, as you know. Anybody getting anything out of this? I just know we're going to get home, and I know Barbara's going to be more obedient. I've been waiting to preach this message to her for 19 years. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed to do my job and to bring a word of correction where it's needed. Amen? We're not going to produce sloppy, selfish brats and send them out into a world where everybody's going to hate them for their pride, their selfishness, and their perpetual immaturity. Amen? We got people, and just because I'm looking at you doesn't mean I'm talking about you. We have people in the body of Christ who have been saved longer than I've been alive. And they're just perpetual babies. They never mature. Amen? Everybody knows them. As a matter of fact, most of the Christian people that you know in this area, you know that they're immature believers and they think they're mature. Is that right? And they're saved in their 60s, saved in 70, saved longer than I've been alive, and they're running around with a smelly diaper. They're still in diapers. They've never matured spiritually. They won't stay in one place long enough to grow in the Word of God. Where did I ask you to go? I want to just show you something here in the book of Daniel. Where's that King James Kenneth Copeland Bible? Amen. Everybody got a Kenneth Copeland Bible? 1065, Helen, thank you. If you don't have a Kenneth Copeland Bible, you're out of the perfect will of God. You need to get one. Amen. I just want to go through the book of Daniel. This is what's in my heart now, to go in this direction. I was going to do it a little differently, but we've got a few minutes left here. I want you to read this with me, if you would. What are we talking about here today? Oh, faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. Amen. Praise be to God. You're there at Daniel 6. I'm going to quote to you a verse of Scripture you know. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where Peter wrote, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You all know that verse of Scripture. Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he can't devour just anybody, because if he could, he would devour everybody. But he can't devour everybody. He has to go around looking for whom he may devour, Peter said. You know who he may devour? The unfaithful and the disobedient. Amen? The unfaithful and the disobedient. But if you're faithful and obedient, the lion can't devour you. And then we have a perfect example of this, of the lion not being able to consume Daniel even in the lion's den because of his faithfulness and obedience, and it resulted in signs, wonders, and miracles. So we're going to read it together. Amen? Say, "I love you, Pastor." Now say it like you mean it. "I love you, Pastor." Hallelujah. Say, "Pastor, thank you for making that CD.
Thank you for making that CD.
For those other people. I don't need it.
But they do.
And I care about people. So keep on preaching. Thank you very much. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at right here in Daniel chapter 6. We're going to do some reading here. You ready to do some reading? Amen. If you haven't read your Bible this week, you're about to get caught up. Amen. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom." Now, here we have Daniel under Darius in Babylon as a captive. The guy was taken from his home as a captive, brought into a foreign country, and he served God with tremendous faithfulness in spite of his circumstances. We can all learn something from Daniel. We are to be faithful in spite of our circumstances. Amen? Okay, and these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, look at how faithful the man was. Even above the Persians and the Medes, he's first, and he's a Jew boy. They didn't like Jews. But he's first under King Darius through faithfulness. Amen? Hallelujah. "Of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him." You know what the excellent spirit was? faithfulness and obedience. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm, just like God wants to bring you up higher if he can find an excellent spirit in you. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They were jealous because of his obedience brought him promotion. But they could find no occasion nor fault, for as much as he was what? Faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we can't find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Kissing up, watch out. Amen. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, counselors, and captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except from you, O king, should be cast into the den of lions. See, they're conspiring to get him killed because they know he's so faithful, he's not going to pray to anybody but his God. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing. Now, Darius loved Daniel, we got to keep this in mind. They had to deceive him into this. Now establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Couldn't alter the laws of the Medes and Persians. If a king signed it, it was irreversible. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Hey, his counselors gave him the advice. He thought it was a good idea. And now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house. His windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime or before the decree which said it was now illegal for Daniel to do that. Then these men assembled, just like they conspired to do, and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree, O great king, that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days except of you shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And they answered and they said before the king, well, Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. You weren't going to stop this man from being faithful. Amen. Then the king, when he heard these words, it broke his heart, was sore displeased with himself that he allowed himself to be tricked in this way. He set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him, looking for a way to reverse the decree, but he couldn't. Then these men assembled unto the king, and they said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians, know what it is, that no decree, no statute, may the king established by the king can be changed. Can't be done. And so the king unfortunately commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou serve continually, that word is actually faithfully. It might even be that in some translations. He will deliver you. How does God deliver? Through faithfulness. That's how Daniel is about to get delivered. A stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, just like Jesus' tomb. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his Lord so it couldn't be broken, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And then the king went to his palace and he passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He's grieving. Has no idea Daniel's down in the lion's den sleeping better than he is. Amen. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spake and said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Whom thou servest continually? That word continually is a reference to faithfulness. Amen. And Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. That is supernatural deliverance. That's the gifts of the Spirit in operation. That's the gift of faith in operation through the ministry of a God-sent angel through Daniel's faithfulness. The lions have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt or no crime. You getting anything out of this? This is good reading today. Amen? Faithfulness and obedience always set the stage for the miraculous. Some people, this is more Bible than they've read all year. By CD, not you. Of course. Then was the king exceeding glad and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed that word is faithful. Because he was faithful to his God. At first glance, reading through this, you don't realize how many times the word faithful is mentioned in here unless you have an electronic Hebrew concordance on your laptop like I do. I went and checked all these words. Faithfulness is referred to in here about a half a dozen times. That's what kept Daniel from being devoured by the lions. That's what will keep you and me from being devoured by Satan. You want tragedy or miracles? Faithfulness is the key. Amen. The king commanded, look what happened right here. As a result of one man's faithfulness, they brought those men which had accused Daniel, cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom. As soon as they hit the floor, they were devoured by those lions. You know why? Because they had no dinner the night before because of Daniel's faithfulness. Hallelujah. You want angelic activity? You want the ministry of angels to work in your life more? Faithfulness and obedience always set the stage for the supernatural. And then King Darius wrote, look what he did, unto all the people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you, and I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. Look at this. Daniel's obedience resulted in national revival in Babylon. Your obedience and your faithfulness, my obedience and my faithfulness, will result in revival on Cape Cod, in national revival, in world revival, if we'll just keep ourselves hooked up with it. This is what it takes for the miraculous, amen? And you're doing a fine job. Unless, of course, you're one of the people listening to us by CD, and you need to repent. Amen? Hallelujah. For Daniel's God is the living God, in the middle of verse 26. And steadfast forever, in his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end of all time. Look what King Darius said about Daniel's faithfulness, what it resulted in. He delivereth, he rescueth, he worketh signs, and what are we talking about in these sessions? Signs, wonders, and miracles. Darius is decreeing that Daniel's faithfulness resulted in signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I bet he did. You see what faithfulness resulted in the life of one man? National revival. That's what it's going to take for God to reach Cape Cod. Now, I said it to you previously. Have you not noticed by now that the Spirit of God is visiting churches all over the United States of America in very unusual ways right now? Revival sweeping across this country, but Cape Cod's not been on God's itinerary yet. Now you know why. Faithlessness. The people we're talking to on CD. Amen? Just a little pulpit humor, but if you are listening to us by CD, if you are listening to us by radio, if you are listening to us by the internet, and you've been faithless in church attendance and tithes and offerings, you're holding up the glory of God on Cape Cod. And this phony counterfeit group called the Glory of God on Cape Cod, have you not noticed by now, no matter how many times they get together and try to force the hand of God, no glory comes. No matter how beautiful their website is, why, when they come together to pray, does the glory of God not come to Cape Cod? Hasn't anybody? You should have had a V8. Has that not occurred to anybody? They have these big meetings over at Sandwich High School in the Performing Arts Center, wherever they get together, the glory of God in Cape Cod, the glory doesn't come. I'll tell you why, first and foremost. I'm not afraid. I came here to tell the truth so God can move on this peninsula. First and foremost, they don't believe in the blood of Jesus, and they hide that from you. We got a little article, a pamphlet I produced over there. You need to take one home with you. What's wrong with the glory of God on Cape Cod? And maybe you should take this CD. Maybe I'll do it myself and bring it over to Mahmoud Riyad and hand it to him so that he can get a revelation that people are on to what he's doing. They're promoting. I'm just going to calm down, take my time and tell you. They're promoting the writings of Rhonda Huey on that website. Rhonda Huey is a disciple of George Otis Jr. He does not believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He does not believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't be surprised if Mahmoud Riyad doesn't believe in the blood of Jesus himself. There. I said it. It needed to be said. And what in the world is a doctor doing leading a group of pastors? Has anybody read Ephesians chapter 4 that God gave apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the leading of the body, for the edification of the body, for the instruction of the body? It doesn't say he gave doctors to be over apostles and prophets and pastors, evangelists, and teachers. It's a big goofed up goof up. I'll tell you what it's going to take from the life of Daniel and from the precious holy written word of God. Not me telling you, the Holy Ghost is telling you. I don't know nothing, but he knows everything. Amen? It's not going to take 123 people 4 times a year going over to Sandwich High School trying to force the hand of God in spite of His Word to bring glory on Cape Cod. It's going to take repentance in the churches. It's going to take faithfulness and obedience. That's always been the way it is. Faithfulness and obedience throughout Scripture, throughout human history, has always paved the way for the supernatural. That'll never change. Get a hint from Daniel, somebody. How am I doing? Hallelujah. How am I doing? The glory of God at Cape Cod is not something that should be set aside lightly, that movement. It's not something that should be set aside lightly. It's something that should be picked up and thrown forcefully. Get it out of your life if you're involved with it. It's a bunch of deception. Go to the website. You'll find there promoting the writings of Rhonda Huey. Look up Rhonda Huey on the internet. You will be appalled at the wool they're trying to pull over your eyes. Hallelujah. Hoo-wee. I'll stop there now because I'm meddling. You know how I can tell? Starting to feel real good. Hallelujah. Lions can't devour the faithful. Amen. God's looking to develop character in His children. Amen? Listen, that's the only way promotion's going to come. Why don't you just stand up, if you would, please, this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the way promotion's going to come on the Cape. I'm reminded, as you stand up, if you'll stay with me for another couple of minutes here, but please stand if you like. Stay seated if you have a situation and you need to stay in your seat. I'm reminded of a Catholic priest talking to a rabbi, and the rabbi asked the Catholic priest, how high can you go in your religion? The priest said. He said, well, if I'm real faithful and if I'm real obedient, I can become an archbishop. And the rabbi said, that's as high as you can go? He said, well, if I'm really faithful and really obedient as an archbishop, I can become a bishop. And the rabbi said, that's it? Is that all they allow? No. If I'm very faithful and very obedient as a bishop, I can become a cardinal. Oh, the rabbi said, pretty impressive. But is that as high as you go? Is that all your faithfulness and obedience produces in the Catholic Church? Now, I'm a former Catholic, so I can talk like this. If you're not, you can't. Amen? I'm not ashamed of my Catholic background. And the Catholic priest said to the rabbi, no, if I were to be the most faithful and most obedient of all cardinals, I could become the Pope. And the rabbi said, that's it? It's as high as you can go? And the priest said, well, what do you want me to do? Become God? And the rabbi said, one of our boys made it. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 5:8 that Jesus Christ, you look at it in your Bible when you go home. Jesus Christ learned obedience by the things he suffered. Jesus was able to accomplish the things he accomplished in the earth through faithfulness in obedience. And he's our example in all things. They don't come any more faithful than Jesus. That's why the rabbi said he made it. He was as faithful and as obedient as they come. And the Bible says he's our example in all things. He learned obedience and faithfulness by the things he suffered too. Listen, it's not always easy to obey God. That's why Paul said to the Romans in Romans 12:1, to give your body, give that slothful, lazy old thing that doesn't want to get up on Sunday and go back out on Wednesday, give it as a living sacrifice to God. You want to see God's best, you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles, it's going to take extreme faithfulness and extreme obedience. You can do it. You can get the job done. The Holy Ghost, the same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus as a man, he was fully God, but he was fully man. He stripped himself of deity, and he took on the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and he did everything he did by the agency of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit dwells in you. The same Holy Spirit that caused Jesus to be supernaturally faithful and supernaturally obedient lives on the inside of you. You can do this. Say, I can do this. Say, I will do it. I will be faithful. And I will see signs. And I will see wonders. And I will see miracles. You say this also. Say, Father, forgive me right now for any faithlessness, any disobedience, any sloppiness. Come on, you people by CD, say it too. Any sloth, any tardiness, and any lack of consistency in Jesus' name. Thank you for a faithful pastor who will always tell me the truth, who will place his feet where he tells me to place my feet. Thank you that he will always lead me to obedience, to faithfulness, to wider pastures, and to miracles. Say it stronger. Say, I commit to change where I need to change. Not only for my sake, but for the sake of my church, my family, my community, and my nation. From this day forward, people will look at me and they will say, wow, that one is faithful. I need to follow their example. Never again will I hinder the supernatural power of God on Cape Cod by selfishness or lack of discipline in any way. I am determined to hear you say to me when I stand before you in judgment, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
You've been faithful over little. Now you'll be made faithful over much. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Let me just say it as we close now. Faithfulness and obedience always have and always will set the stage for the miraculous. Nothing less. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together with one another, especially as you see the day approaching. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat on my table. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not pour out such abundance of blessing and signs and wonders and miracles in your life, that you will literally have to make room to receive it. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that a clear conscience always makes a soft pillow. We will go to bed and sleep tonight knowing from this day forward, when those doors are open, I will step through them, Father, If I'm the only one who sets the example, you can count on me to set that example, Father, and I will expect signs, wonders, and miracles in my life, just like Daniel.